So y'all can go home now and say to your young, to your grandchildren or children and say, hey, you heard that song, Chainbreaker? And they're like, how does he know? Because they just think all we know is, you know, Amazing Grace and things like that. So I thought that'd be a great start tonight. So welcome. I'm really excited about talking tonight. You know, when I always hear something from the Lord when I start to prepare for you guys. And this week, last couple of weeks preparing, I heard about the word fear. And I saw a common theme of fear in the lesson, because the apostles were afraid of the storm. The demon-possessed man was afraid that Jesus would torment him. He was also afraid of himself. He was cutting himself, if you remember. The residents in that area were afraid of the demon-possessed man. The residents of the region became frightened and resentful toward Jesus because of what he had happened. They may have been concerned about the disruption of their normal routine and the loss of the property, and they wanted Jesus and his powers to leave the area so much more financial losses would incur. They're trying to cut their financial losses. But more compelling, however, was the reality that they were ungodly people frightened by Christ's display of spiritual power. So we are told that the woman that touched Jesus' cloak, she approached him with fear and trembling. And of course, Jairus was afraid of his daughter dying. And then we can only imagine how that anxiety was raised up when, you know, ushering Jesus to his home to save his daughter, Jesus stops and spends several minutes, precious minutes, with the lady who touched his cloak. So the anxiety, his anxiety rose greatly. I forgot to do the screen, but I get that summary there. And when Jesus enters Jairus' house, he proclaims the title for my talk, "Do Not Be Afraid, Only Believe." So tonight we're going to look at fear. What is it? How does it affect us? Look at what the Bible has to say about it. Check out some examples of people overcoming fear in the Bible, and dive into some details about tonight's readings. And lastly, we'll summarize what the Bible's advice is on fear. I really do believe, guys, this is something that strikes us all. You know, outwardly we're men, but we worry about a lot of things. So let's proceed. So what is fear and how does it affect us? We all have fear. Fear is the deal, is the big deal will not come in. Fairly will be late. Miss the promotion. Shank that drive, get in an accident, be fired, get laid off. As leaders of our families, there are a number of fears that related to being the breadwinner or providing for those closest to us. We stress over the safety of our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, friends, sisters, brothers, parents, extended family. And then there's phobias. The common spiders, snakes, heights, claustrophobia. There's people who are afraid of dogs. The list goes on and on. We even have people who are afraid of dirt. The definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or someone is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. Synonyms: fear, you see them, some of them on the screen here. Fear, distress, anxiety, worry, unease, apprehension, nervousness, foreboding, butterflies in the stomach is another way. And then there's also, the kids call it FOMO. You know, there's another term for you, FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, when people are looking for a better deal or want to have to go to something because they think that's where they need to go. Psychologists tell us psychologists tell us that all human beings are born with two fears: the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. So we know in heaven there is no fear, so we can conclude that fear is the result of the fall of humanity. And all the other fears except from falling and loud noise or learned fear is what we hear on earth. So according to BibleGateway.com, one of my favorite sites to go to while I'm preparing for you guys, fear and afraid appear 541 times in the Bible. So we can only conclude that it's important that God wants us to do something about it. And fear started, the first time it started is in Genesis 3:10. Adam answers God's question regarding why he is hiding. He answered, "I hear you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Later on in Genesis 32, in great fear and distress, Jacob
divided the people who were with him into two groups, the flocks and the herds and the camels, as he thought his brother was coming to kill him. Second chapter of Exodus, Moses fled to the desert because he was afraid that he killed the Egyptian. Right? Later on, the spies reported back to the occupants of the promised land that where do we go? Our brothers have made our hearts in the fear. They say, the people are stronger, taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the skies. We even saw the Amalekites there, big giants. Later on, and as you go through the Bible, Saul was afraid of David. David, who experienced a tremendous amount of fear. One of my favorite verses from all those was Psalm 13:2 that's up there on the screen, which is, you know, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me as Saul chased him across the desert? Both Esther and Nehemiah were afraid. Matthew 14, when Jesus was walking on the water, the apostles thought they saw a ghost at first. Whenever people see angels, Elizabeth, there is fear. Acts 5, when Ananias fell dead from lying, the people around him were afraid. So, and then I want to just get the one last one in the resurrection. We're told that we shouldn't be afraid. So it's a common thing throughout the whole Bible. Okay, so when we examine what is behind fear, we mentioned that fear started the fall of mankind. In our reading tonight, Jesus calmed the sea. He wasn't speaking to the elements. He spoke to the dynamic elements of this world, of the raging sea. The whole physical world is in Satan's grip. Later on in the reading tonight, Jesus used the same word that he rebuked the demon man in Galilee, that he used to, in Capernaum, demon man in Capernaum, that he used to calm the storm. So he didn't say, be quiet, nature. He was talking to Satan's elements to calm the storm. And so, you know, my thought immediately ran to Ephesians 6:12, and a lot of you guys know this. For our struggle is not of flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly reign. So the first thing, that part of this biblical solutions that I want to share with you tonight, is we need to recognize that fear and anxiety are Satan and they're of this world. The next thing I want to share with you is that we know that God cares for us. In Deuteronomy 7, basically, paraphrase, it's I love you because I love you, not because you're the greatest nation on earth. In 1 John 4, we learn that there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. In the Sermon on the Mount, God tells us he cares about us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He turns all things into good for those who love him, Romans. And if God is for us, who can be against us? His plans for you are greater and better than your plans are for yourself. God works through faith, particularly faith. Failures in faith are the doorway to greater vision. In our passages tonight, the apostles were filled with awe after Jesus calmed the sea. It was a different kind of fear, a godly fear, which is a sense of respect and awe. So, what does this all mean to us? That this is how God sanctifies us or grows us through these experiences in our life. And fear is a natural human thing. We all experience it. Well, we try to be tough and big guys, you know, in the back of our mind when we're driving down the road, the quietness of the night, we have fears. But a couple of points, really, really important points here are whether they're internal or external fears that are influencing us, the boat cannot sink when the Lord is there. He's got our back. All those reasons I talked about earlier, that he has plans for us, plans for goodness for those who love him. And so remember that the boat can't not sink when he's there and that all storms pass. I think we all can look back upon our lives and see periods of time when it was hell. I mean, it's probably the easiest way to describe it, right? Everybody in this room can describe a period in their life where it's not very pleasant. But the idea is Jesus is by us. He's always there. Our boat's not going to sink because we're with him. And he is protecting us. Hang on one second. I think I have to have just one second. Ah, yes, I did. I jumped ahead. We did that one. Don't be afraid. God cares. Solution. Okay. A simple statement that Jesus reveals to us is faith is always the answer to fear. So we're asked earlier, you know, why does Mark group these stories together? You know, why does he put Jairus dealing with the death of his daughter and the lady who was sick? Why are they put together? Well, first let's take a look. You know, Jairus was a very anguished father. Prominent though he was, nevertheless he knew that there was power in Jesus, and that's what drew him to him. He forgot his pride and prejudice, and he came and asked for help. Only believe. The verb there is a present continuous action, urging Jairus to maintain the faith he had initially demonstrated in coming to Jesus. Christ knew there was no other proper response to Jairus' helplessness situation, and he was confident of the faith of outcome. You learn more in Luke 8 about that, as well as the reading tonight. This is gut-wrenching. We know that everybody in this man would walk through fire, hot coals, anything for our children, right? Anything for our close friends and family. And this was Jairus. He didn't care about his position in the synagogue. He only cared about that little girl, that 12-year-old girl. And then the other, so that's an external force. And we contrast this with the internal thing that this lady was bleeding. She was unwelcomed anywhere because she was unclean. People were forbidden to touch her. She was forbidden to go to synagogue. She couldn't do it, right? And she also, it's interesting, and I don't know why, and maybe one of you Bible scholars can enlighten me later on, but, you know, the girl was 12 years old, and this lady was sick for 12 years. I don't know why they're there. I just thought it was interesting when it came up. But she was ostracized, separated, isolated, in pain and distress from unending blood flow. What a place to be, ostracized by her society. So we know that this is important. So we think one of the things that I'd like to bring out is, it might have crossed my mind, and I'm sure it's crossing yours as well, which is, why not heal me? Why not heal my friend? Why doesn't Jesus heal everybody? You know, I think it's a common thing that we can think about. Jesus, you know, if he healed everybody, he would have been invited to every funeral or every hospital in Judea, right? I mean, there's one thing about him telling people not to tell anybody. But I think there's something deeper going on. It's people with faith, right? Jairus had faith. That's what saved his daughter. He didn't want people running to him without faith. Right? If you run to him without faith, he can't do anything for you. But we need to stand on the truth that whether God chooses to heal us or not, or heal our friends or not, or if God chooses to take somebody that's young away from us, he's God. And if you knew everything that God knew, you would do the same thing. That's the faith we have to stand on, that he's omniscient. He's God of the universe. His ways are greater and farther and better than our ways. We have to believe in that. Because in those times when we're in the boat and it's rocking, we need to know that he's got our back. And remember, his goal is not of this world. We're thinking of sickness in this world. He's overcome this world. He's thinking about the next world, his world, where he's glorified. And we live with him, you know, when there is no more fear left in the world. That's the important thing. We need to lift our eyes up and look beyond the visible to the realities of God. Live in the full dimension of his life as God intended us to be. That's the key. And, you know, we all have fears, but that's the key. So one great story that I love about fear and about lifting our eyes to see what God has done is in 2 Kings 6. Okay. So the king of Aram was trying to conquer Judah. A little background. And the king of Judah was listening to Elisha. And the king of Aram got really frustrated. And he said, How is this king of Judah evading me at every step? And the people laughed and said, well, because Elisha's telling them. So he said, I got it. Took all his troops and went to find Elisha. So Elisha's staying in a house one morning up on the mountain, and his servant goes out to get water. Servant comes running back into the room and says, well, we're screwed. I mean, basically, there's a bunch of people out here. There's a bunch of chariots. You can kind of see in the picture there, the people below are the armies, you know, chariots waiting to take hold of them. Probably something good was not going to happen towards him. And then Elisha prayed. Let me read the whole thing. King Aram was at war with Israel. He was frustrated by Elisha's advice to the king that was thwarting the efforts to capture Israel. So he decided to have Elisha captured. In the morning when Elisha's servants went outside, he ran back, proclaiming that they were surrounded by an army of horses and chariots. We pick up the story in 2 Kings 6:16. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots, a fire all around them. As the enemy came down toward them, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army, the attacking army, with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. And I think we need to remember this story, guys, that when we're in the moment of fear, and hey, it happens to me. I can't tell you how many times I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my head's running. And I, you know, we're all in the Bible every day, but we're all humans. So I don't think we have to be ashamed of this. We just need to talk about it. It happens. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I roll over at 2 and I'm still awake at 4 and stuff runs through my head. So I'm as in the boat with everybody else. But we need to pray for the Lord to open our eyes. So just 6 things that I want to leave you with that we touched upon. And first one is fear and anxiety of Satan. We learned that from the fall in the garden. Second one, faith is always the answer to fear. So believing. The two most important ones from the first story, the boat cannot sink when the Lord is there. He's got your back. He will take care of you. The storms will not last. They're only here for a season. Call upon the Lord to open your eyes to see what he's doing. And that the only fear that you should have is godly fear. That's the only fear we should have. An awe like the, after Jesus calmed the storm, everybody in the boat sat in amazement at our powerful, wonderful Lord and were just in awe. So that's the talk for tonight. Let's end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We love your word. I want you to bless each man here. Give them something from this talk that they take home that they can help them. As all of us have times we're afraid about what's going on around us, that we need to lean on you, Lord. Open our eyes to see what you're doing in our lives. Pray that you reveal to them in the midst of their anguish these things, Lord. We, as always, Lord, we ask you to shine your face down upon us. Bless our hands as we go about our work on a daily basis. Protect our families. Be a light to our feet. And, Lord, help us in all we do. Glorify you. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And it's 9:00. I told you I'd get you out on time.